start.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode here of Chase the Unknown. Welcome to another week. Today we're here with Kyle Hershey of Hershey Pictures. How are you doing today, Kyle?
Good, and yourself?
I'm doing well. We're also here with Trinity Dobbs, one of my co-hosts.
Hey guys.
Yep. Jared has been dealing with just a lot of stuff going on. I know he's...
He wants to come back. He's just not able to at the moment, I believe.
Yeah, he's going through a lot of personal stuff right now, so we're praying for him and everything he's going through and such. But hopefully he'll be back here shortly on the podcast. But until then, we have Kyle here to talk to.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Definitely, definitely.
We appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how you got involved in filmmaking. How do you kind of, the filmmaking bug kind of bit you?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I started when I was really young. You know, the classic story, your mom buys you a camera. Mine was one that was, had to put an entire VHS tape in.
Oh, yeah.
And,
you know,
no editing.
Oh, goodness.
Until Pinnacle Studio 9 came out.
Oh, wow.
Back in 2004, 2006, something like that. And then got into acting as a teenager and gave it up for a while. When I moved back to this area, this Georgia, Petrie City, Tyrone area, I met some guys during a rough time in my life who got me back into it. They said, you know, you're going through a tough time. We make films. You want to just hang out with us? And then
wow.
From there, it's been full speed ahead.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I like that you mentioned that, you know, they kind of came around you in a time that wasn't great for you. Now that we even just mentioned with Jared, you know, that of a time where whether you're hurting, you're just going through a really rough patch in your life. And not to go into too much, but you and I mentioned, we had talked just a moment ago before we started the podcast about how you're now doing that for someone else. And I think it just that's so awesome that at the end of the day, you know, I think that's the point of the power of just community, whether it's in the film community or whatever it is. I think that's just the power of community. And it's really awesome that you're able to do that.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of fascinating how people get these low points in their life. And then that's what ultimately changes their direction, regardless. Like you said, you were going through a rough time. And that's how you got back into the industry. When I started in this industry, I was going through a rough time, struggling with depression myself. And it was a very interesting time. So it's just fascinating how people go through whatever it is that they go through, but yet their lives just make a 180.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely. I gave up on a lot of creativity during the time before that rough time. And then when these guys, Michael Pollard and Isaac Lee, when they came around me and said, hey, look, you have way too much creativity just to stop now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You need to get back into it. That's when, like you were saying, it just exploded.
Yeah. Because I remember when we started working on Right Time Productions, I was going through a lot of stuff too, because that was 2017, right? Right,
Roger? I believe so. Somewhere around there. Yeah.
That was one of the, I quote this myself, it was one of the worst years of my life was 2017. It was absolutely horrible. But at the same time, look what came out of it. We have a web series now that we're working on. We have 3 short films, and it's just fascinating with if you can focus all of your energy and the community that you have around you that you can do. You can do anything, no matter what you're struggling with.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
And it kind of goes back to one of our original our original thought process in terms of I know you and I, Trinity, were having a conversation, I think it was last week, and we really noticed that we were kind of talking, stripping it back down. You're really just kind of talking about, okay, what are our core beliefs? What are our core foundation as, you know, Right Time Productions, you know? And one of the things that we really discovered, you know, was as kind of one of our foundational pillars for Right Time Productions is, you know, creating hope.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that look like practically in a way? Like, we can even talk about you, Kyle, you know, you're creating hope by not only creating content, but being involved in your community, you know, and being there for people when they're not going through a rough patch, you know. And you, Trinity, you know, you're going through a rough patch, you know, and look what's come from that. You know, it's this podcast, it's our three short films, it's mm-hmm. Young Life that we have coming out next year, you know. And then of course we've got a bunch of other stuff that we're super excited to tell you guys about here shortly. But yeah, so tell us a little bit more about some of your projects, Kyle.
Sure. Yeah. Right now, we have two short films that are out on YouTube, mm-hmm. Dear Veronica and Angel. And we've got four short films that are already finished, ready to post.
Nice.
And two we shot actually, just a few days ago. So, we'll have a whole bunch of content that'll be posted yeah. before the end of the year.
That's awesome. He's a busy man. He's a busy man, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
That's right.
I know we've been trying to get him back here for a couple weeks now, and it's been a little rough.
Funny story. Funny story for you guys real fast. I'll let you guys have a little peek behind the curtain here of what goes on here behind the scenes. Funny story. We actually recorded this podcast originally with Kyle here a few weeks ago, and one of the main topics...
Actually, I think it was... about a month ago.
Was it about a month ago?
I think so. It was the beginning yeah. of August.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was August 8th, wasn't it?
It was August 8th. Yeah, that's right.
I remember. Yeah. Because we're actually doing some shooting later that day as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so funny story with that is one of the main topics of that conversation we had with Kyle that day was, you know, what does it look like when you fail or you lose things or things mm-hmm. don't go your way, you know, and like, how do you move on from that? How do you, even though it's disappointing, kind of how do you pick back up off the ground and move forward, you know? And when somehow this podcast just happens to disappear off of my computer hard drive, it's like, to this day, it's the very first podcast I've ever lost in my entire life, but it's just ironic that it was his. So, right.
And now you will be able to relive it exactly. for the rest of your life.
Exactly. So with that being said, I felt very comfortable just reaching back out to Kyle and said, hey, so this happened. It just disappeared. Would you be willing to come back and do another take here? Go for another shot.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's funny, though, that with everything that's going on, I mean, you know, you lost all the audio, but we were very fortunate we were able to get you back. And that exactly. was the thing, because we were talking about how, you know, what do you do with you fail? Let's just kind of like revisit that conversation from exactly. before. So
sure.
what do you do when you fail?
Yeah. So a little insight on that. The very first short film that we have on YouTube right now, Dear Veronica, about 2 years ago, we shot that. And it was the first thing I had ever written. And we went through, finished most of it other than some music that needed to mm-hmm. Be put in the short film. And the hard drive that was on it, or that all the projects was on, crashed.
Oh.
And it was gone.
Oh, no.
And for the longest time, it was hard to start over, you know. Yeah. And luckily, I had kept a backup of just the video files. So we lost mm-hmm. all the audio. We lost all the edits, all of that. But we still had the video. Mm-hmm. So I had a better place to start than rock bottom.
Exactly.
But getting that motivation to start over, to put it all back together, go through every shot again and re-record audio, was a nightmare and took forever to finally muster up the courage to do that.
Entirely revisit the conversation of, okay, you know, I think if I remember correctly, last time you said it, like you said, it was 2 years until you actually got up that confidence to go back and say, okay, let's revisit this and try again ultimately.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
incredible. Very interesting, because I actually had a similar situation happen to me. When I first moved to Georgia, I got cast in a web series. It was a very interesting web series. And I was to play the oldest daughter. She was like a high school student. And if anyone who looks at me thinks that I'm still in high school, so you can see why it works. But anyway, we shot 17 hours all one day. The whole thing, the whole pilot episode, about 2 weeks later, the director emails us and says he lost all the audio for that entire day.
Wow.
And it was not a paid job. And so it was very like we had no compensation. All we had was the pictures that we took on set that day. And he had all the video, but no audio at all. Mm. And to this day, we have never reshot that. And that was 7 years ago.
Wow.
So it's just very like, I don't know what he did with that. I don't know if he's always said he wanted to reshoot it, mm-hmm. but he was from like Alabama or somewhere. So
yeah.
we've never reshot that. And I just think that, not, you know, not to say anything bad about him, but that's kind of a thing of like, did he just give up on it, or did he lose his faith, or what happened with that project? But at the same time, I was very bummed because I was a lead in that thing. And now that was the first project I actually had a lead role in, and I was very excited about it. But, well, you know, you have to pick yourself back up. And
yeah, we were just talking about community. I've got a good group of people in an acting class called Sentio, run by Isaac Lee.
Awesome.
And we were just talking the other night. We did self-tapes where he gave us a script 2 minutes before. We went in and shot it just like we would a normal audition for practice. And some people, for the first time, this is completely new to them. And they watch themselves back and they go, oh, that was so bad. It was so terrible. But if you were perfect the first time, then you have no way to grow.
Exactly. There's nothing to grow off of.
Right. So you almost need to be terrible the first time so that you can continue to learn and grow and make better and better content.
Exactly. Failure is required to grow.
Oh, yeah.
Failure is required to grow. That's profound.
We should always be growing, you know?
Exactly.
We should never sit around and go, oh, I'm done. I'm perfect.
There's always room for improvement.
Exactly. Right.
That's what I get told every time I have a performance review at work or something. There's always room for improvement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And really, when we talk about that mentality, you know, when we have a mentality of I have arrived, that's only going to stop us from growing and stop us from learning and really growing into the people that we need to become, you know.
Sure. Because
we should always, I think it's really, at least for me, it's a line of, always being willing and always pushing yourself to learn and grow, but at the same time, never looking at yourself of, again, the I have arrived or I'm better than this person or whatever it is, you know. And I'll be honest, that's something that I have to kind of work on keeping in check, because it's always one or the other, you know. It's always when I'm feeling bad about myself, it's, oh, I need to, you know, when I see something better than what I can do, you know, it's, oh, it pushes me to grow, or it either pushes me to grow or I'm, oh, well, I've been doing this long and I still can't do that. Like, what's wrong with me? Or it's, you know, oh, I can do something way better than this. You know, they don't know what they're doing, you know, blah, 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 you know? So for me, it's just kind of keeping in that space of, okay, I need to just keeping that in check generally. So. Mm-hmm.
And I think as creatives too, it's very easy for us to, whether we hit failure or we're working on a project, that we keep thinking that this is my thing, and I want to continue to make things. And you ask people for help to create your production, especially in film. You got to ask, and if you have no budget, low budget, hey, I need your help with this. And we forget that those people are creative too, and they need a push. And that's why, we've had conversations even before today about community.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not have gone back to finish Dear Veronica if there weren't people pushing me.
Exactly.
You know?
You wouldn't have had that faith to revisit that, to reface that failure if you didn't have that community.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And for me, the biggest supporters in my life are, first of all, my family.
Mm-hmm.
They've pushed me to create, even when I've doubted myself. They gave me the tools to create. My girlfriend, Isaac, Michael, and these film people that just come out for no pay.
Exactly.
That just want to build their portfolios and want to help you create something so that you'll help them create something later on.
Exactly.
It's important.
Yeah, I definitely think you said something that just made me think. You said that your family has been super supportive of your decision to do this. And what is fascinating to me is there's so many people out there who have absolutely no support.
Right.
And I think that's kind of the whole point of the community that I know that we're trying to achieve at Right Time Productions, because there's so many people who don't have it. I remember meeting a young man one time who he went through a program called AMTC, which is a program that I went through as well.
Oh, really?
I did, actually. Awesome. I went through the summer of 2013, I believe was my year. But he went through with me, and he showed up at Shine, which was a conference. For those of you who don't know, is a conference in Orlando. You spend a week. He showed up by himself He was only 20 years old, showed up by himself, and all he had was whatever was in his car, all the whatever, you know, outfits he had in his car, and that's all he had. He had no support, no parents, no nothing. And he was doing all of it on his own. And I really admired him for doing that, because I had my mom with me, because I was only 20 as well at the time. And I was just like, I need my mom. I can't do this by myself. I need somebody with me. I need my mom
to check into the hotel.
Every girl. I actually have a funny story about that. At Shine, we went to this banquet at the end of the whole thing. It's like this banquet thing. And so I'm wearing my cute dress and my 3-inch heels and all this stuff. And we got locked out of our room, me and my roommate and both of our parents, because my roommate was 13. And so it was her mom and my mama. So we were all together. So we went down there to the reception desk to get what happened. Why did we get locked out? And it was my card. I'd used everything because I'd paid for all of it. And I kept asking the receptionist, well, what's going on? Why are we not? She looks at me dead in the eyes and said, sweetheart, let me talk to the adults. And I was just like, what? I was so mad, because what really makes it funny is I had actually gotten an award at the banquet for a role model award. And I was holding it in my hand. And I'm sitting here like, I have to be good holding this role model award in front of a 13-year-old girl and not lose my temper. I was so mad. Like,
that's funny. I think you have told that story on the podcast before.
I think so too.
It's always fun to hear it again.
It was funny. You know, at the time I was obviously very upset and kind of like, well, why will nobody take me seriously? Because I wasn't even 21. So exactly. I thought it was kind of one of those, well, because I'm not old enough or whatever. But at the same time, I'm the one who had paid for everything. Why would she not talk to me? But anyway, that's my little tangent on that.
Well, like you said, you look like you're in high school. So.
I still look like in high school. And what was so bad was the year I went through AMTC, it was the year I got my braces taken off that year. And so I still, when I had the braces on, I looked even younger. It was awful. So yeah, let's get back.
You talked a little bit previously last time to us about this new project you've been working on. It's almost like a choose your own adventure type of project. Do you want to talk more about that? That was really fascinating.
Yeah. So this, Michael Pollard and I kind of came up with this idea. And it was a story. It's four different stories, all that happen in the same universe. At the end of every episode, there's a choice. Well, in normal choose your own adventures, you can choose this or that and watch what happens. And, you know, you can always go back and redo it. This is different. Whatever choice is made, you can no longer go back and choose something else. And it's not up to the individual, it's up to the audience as a whole. So what we do is, at the end of every episode, we put it on the social media and let people vote. Yeah. Say, do you want this to happen or this to happen? And then we go out and write the next short film based on the majority rules answer. So as you're watching, things might happen that you didn't vote for, or things might happen that you did vote for, but it's the wrong decision because now this has happened. We can't go back. We can't change it. It's like real life.
That's so cool. That is such a cool, because like you said, it's not like other choose your own adventures where the outcomes or the choices are predetermined for you. I can also visualize it as an incredible writing exercise for you, because you don't know where the story is going to go. You know, you don't, like you said, it may be a good decision for the character, maybe a bad decision, you know? So, but you have, I don't want to say no control, because you're still able to kind of pitch, hey, here's a few options, you know, say you're not going to get anything super crazy, but it still allows you to have that aspect of, okay, let's all figure out what's going to happen together.
Right. Yeah. You know? And the other thing I think that is cool about it is there are main characters. There's two main characters in every episode, and all the characters are expendable. And I myself have already dictated, okay, if people choose this, that means this character is going to die. You know.
Wow.
So even though if I don't want a character to die, the audience might choose it without knowing.
That's so interesting.
That is fair. What I love that you said was, you said you can't. They can't go back because it's real life. Or you said something to that effect. And I love that you said that, because a lot of times, you know, we watch movies to escape real life a lot of times, but at the same time, it has to be believable. And I think there's a lot of films that I've personally seen that were just unrealistic in so many ways. And I think it's fascinating that not only is it authentic experience for the viewer, for the creatives, but it's something that would actually happen in real life. It's not just like a TV sitcom where you leave a baby on a bus. It's not like something like who would do that? As much as that makes great comedy for a sitcom, it doesn't necessarily work in real life.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting how, like you mentioned, okay, well, if the audience chooses this option, then I've already kind of predetermined in my head that this character is going to die. That's what I was going to say is you said every single character in the series is expendable. And I think that's a huge thing that we don't see a lot of in storytelling is that, you know, you have your core base of characters and, you know, you kind of little things that in a way, okay, you don't touch, you know, but like you said, you've decided those outcomes of, okay, if they vote for this ending, this person's going to die. And if they die, audience is just going to have to deal with it. It's that middle ground of them having choice, but you also still having control as well.
Right.
So in a way, it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And like you said before, it's not, you know, your personal decision either. You just, you have to predetermine certain things, which also makes you not only a good writer, but a good director as well, who can see that and go from that angle as well, which is just mind blowing to me.
Exactly. Exactly. What is, in your experience over the last several years, what is the biggest lesson you feel like you've learned on your journey through creativity and filmmaking?
Well, I'll just go with the first thing that popped into mind.
Okay, yeah. Go first.
The first thing is you need to surround yourself with people that are going to push you. Not just in your creativity, but also people that will push you through life. Exactly. That'll keep you accountable. That'll say, hey, you know, we've been doing your projects all the time and you haven't helped these people or these people or who can say, hey, you know, this story, I understand what you're going for, but it's not coming across that way. Just this past week when I was filming another short film, I had a guy on set. His name's Sean Skinner. He's amazing. And primarily for this short film, he was doing lighting. And me looking at the camera, I was like, yes, let's go. And he goes, I know you want to start filming, but I really think that if you took another 10 minutes so we can adjust these lights, it would look so much better. I was like, no, we can do it. We got it. He goes, are you sure? Less sure than I was when you first asked me. So giving him control of that, being able to use his creativity, by the time he was able to adjust everything, it looked amazing.
Yeah.
Much better than I thought before. So having people that are willing to say, you know, your idea isn't perfect and I want to make it better. Let me show you how and you can decide. Those types of people you need in your life.
Exactly.
For sure.
And allowing that, like you said, it was your choice to give him that platform if you wanted to or not. You know, and I just think just the fact that you put yourself in a space where you are in a way allowing him to have that permission to do that is incredible. Cause I think that's one thing that's really, it's really lost in creativity. When you get up to, especially like the studio level, you know, and obviously you still had to say, okay, yeah, let's do that. You still controlled the pace of it, but you gave him permission to be able to know that he could ask that. And I feel like a lot of people, that come from a traditional studio environment don't feel like they have that permission.
Yeah. And I think what's cool with that too is we started this thing called Alpha Pack, which is a group of creative people that if you want to join the pack, you put your phone number and email and everything and your name down and all your skills as far as creatively. Every project that we've done so far has been an Alpha Pack project. And what that means is everybody that's involved, if you were lighting, if you were acting, if you were editing, directing, whatever it is, you now own everything that we've done. So I've got Dropboxes full of stuff that I send to people and they now have all the footage. So if they want to, you know, make their own edit of something so that they can put it on their reel or they want to be able to show people, hey, this is what I've done or what I can do with my skills, that's... they have control over that because if somebody helps, especially right now, all my short films are straight out of my pocket. So if I can't always pay people to be on set and to use their creativity, they need to at least have something to take home.
Exactly.
So that's the whole goal behind that.
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of people don't do unpaid projects, is because they're scared that they won't get that demo reel or the portfolio or whatever it is that they're looking for. Yeah. But if you work with the right people, you can get all that stuff. And honestly, sometimes they just forget. You just have to ask for it.
The two things I see in you when you talked about that just now is true community and actual real trust. Because you're trusting other people. You're trusting the group with your IP, you know, and that in a world that's so possessive over who owns what and this is mine. I think to see creators that are in the headspace of we're a group and we own this together almost is really refreshing. You know,
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's also worth mentioning that, first of all, I'm absolutely not perfect. So I've made lots of mistakes, both creatively and with people. I've lost people because of decisions that I've made through this creative process.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I had to learn was not to give up because of that.
Yeah.
Because I'm a people pleaser at heart, too.
Yeah.
So when somebody is upset with me or I lose somebody, it hurts and it makes me want to stop doing what I'm doing, but continuing to push forward. But also, like, these people that are helping you create the stories that you want to tell and making your dreams come true, they deserve everything that you can possibly give them, if not more.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And one thing we did touch on previously that I didn't bring up was when it comes to that dynamic of working with people, it comes to that dynamic of, you know, pushing yourself to always grow, always learn, never get into the headspace of I have arrived. You know, I think a big hang up people I've seen a lot of in my experience with people is that they're just not willing to do that. They're not, they realize they need to do that, but they're not willing to. You know, and I think for multiple reasons, you know, whether it's an ego thing or in my opinion, there is no room for ego and creativity whatsoever. But the other thing, a big one I've seen too, that kind of applies to us as well is, you know, it becomes a moral issue for them. You know, it becomes they feel like it's wrong that they cannot learn from other people that don't agree with them. They miss all these learning opportunities because they think, okay, well, the people I learn from have to agree with me. Or like, for example, our company, Right Turn Productions, is based on Christian values. But I will never neglect, I will never say, no, I cannot learn from you because you're not a believer either, or we have totally different viewpoints.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We live in a world right now where if you, like you said, if you don't agree with me, then you're my enemy.
Exactly.
Or we can't talk, we can't be friends. That's so wrong.
Yeah.
What happened to the days where we could discuss things and be on opposite sides of the fence and yet still share a meal together?
Exactly. You know? It goes back to that again. I feel like a big kind of the thing, everything kind of is just coming back to in this entire conversation is that general sense of community, you know, and why community is so important, especially in the creative field.
And, so, you know, also, I mean, you guys are built on Christian values and I'm a Christian myself. So it also comes down to, you know, God has given us these gifts to be creative. And if we're only doing it for us to get famous, there's something wrong.
Exactly, exactly.
I know for sure that one of my biggest motivators is to be able to tell stories.
You're a storyteller.
Right, right. And my mom always jokes about how when I was little, we would get in the car and the first thing I'd say is, hey, Mom, could you sing me a song or could you tell me a story? And if she'd ask me, you know, I'm too tired, can you tell me a story? Then I would, and I would go on forever and ever with stories. I love telling stories. I love hearing people's stories. But if I only hear stories from people that think exactly like me, then all my stories are going to be exactly the same.
And that's so good, because I feel like that's one of the major blocks I feel like we have right now in the Christian entertainment market, you know? And I could talk for hours probably on that.
He really could.
Wow. This has been an incredible conversation just to talk with you a little bit, Kyle. I know, you may have probably already answered this question already, but if you would have any advice for anyone who's having trouble getting over that hump of they've failed in the past, or they just need that push, and they don't have a community around them, or they want to be a storyteller. You know, they have a passion for storytelling, but they don't know what they want to do with it. You know, they don't know how they want to get started. What advice would you have for them?
I think my advice would be twofold. Number one, it goes back to what you actually said before we started this podcast in our conversation, which is it never hurts to ask. So when you're trying to find people for your locations or to help you out with your short films, even people that are more experienced or more professional, more famous, whatever it is than you, it never hurts to ask the question, because the worst they can say is no.
Exactly.
And you're right where you are right now. Mm-hmm. When we do short films, we typically, how I like to work is I'm going to try for the top level thing. Like, this is my dream, and work backwards from there.
Exactly.
So at one point I reached out to Yale and said, hey, I want to shoot something in your cafeteria. Is that okay? Of course they said no. All right, now let's work backwards.
But you try.
Right.
That's the important part.
And I think the second thing is to make sure to check yourself constantly. And not just from your own perspective, but ask your friends and ask your family, those people, your community, those people closest to you. Hey, what do you think of this? This is my idea.
Yeah.
This is my reasoning for this.
Yeah.
This is the story, the message I want to get across. What do you think?
Yeah.
That's extremely important.
That's awesome. And if you're in the South Atlanta, if you're in the South Atlanta area, you're in, or the states surrounding Georgia, go ahead. And if you're looking for a community to join, if you resonate with everything we've been talking about and you're looking for a community to join, you know, join Alpha Pack, or you can also get connected with us here at Right Time Productions. We have a community page on Facebook you can join. But thank you so much, Kyle, for coming in and talking with us. It's been so much fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, it's been great to have you.
Awesome. Well, guys, until next Wednesday, make sure you go ahead and chase your unknown.